In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello everyone, Charles Watts here. Welcome back to Inside Arsenal. It is Tuesday morning and I'm sure you are waking up feeling very, very good about yourselves after what we saw last night. I say last night, I'm actually recording this last night, pre-recording this show because I am out this morning or by the time you're watching this, so I wasn't able to do it. So I'm recording it from my dad's house where I've just watched the game. I've done my player ratings video, but now thought I'd pre-record today's show so I could actually get it out for you because I wanted to talk about what was a fantastic, fantastic Arsenal win. So we're going to be reacting to that win in today's show, looking at it a lot more in depth than I did in the player ratings video. We'll look at what Mikel Arteta has had to say after the game. I will go over my player ratings again because I know you like me to do that the next day if you didn't get to watch last night's video. Got some comments from you, opinions from you on what you saw as well, and the latest on what Mikel Arteta had to say about Gabriel Martinelli's injury and Bukayo Saka's early substitution yesterday as well. So let's get cracking on what was another history-making night for Arsenal. They continue to set new records with this incredible pace that they have started 2024 with. Another 6-0 win. You just look at that result, that list of results in the league since the turn of the year. 5-0 against Crystal Palace, 2-1 at Nottingham Forest, 3-1 against Liverpool, and then bang, 6-0 West Ham, 5-0 Burnley, 4-1 Newcastle, 6-0 Sheffield United. Incredible run of form from Mikel Arteta's side. Record-breaking run of form, as I said, from Mikel Arteta's side. Last night's win means they become the first side in English top flight history to win three consecutive away games by 5 goals or more. They've now scored 31 goals in their last 7 Premier League games. No side in Premier League history has ever scored that amount of goals in 7 matches. It's an incredible run of form from Arsenal, one that you wish would carry on forever at this sort of rate, because it's just a lot of fun watching these games and the goals going in. It's obviously not going to be able to happen. You can't continue scoring at this amount of at this sort of rate, but while it is happening, we can just sit back and enjoy it. And next up for Arsenal is Brentford, of course, on Saturday. Win that and Arsenal will be top of the Premier League before that game against Liverpool and Manchester City on Sunday. Goals all going in from different players again yesterday. Odegaard, then the own goal, then Martinelli, Havertz, Rice, White. Arsenal sharing the goals around, as they have done once again this season. Goal difference, what an unbelievable leap the goal difference has taken since the turn of the year. Pretty incredible when you consider that it wasn't too long ago that we were wondering if Arsenal were going to be able to score enough goals to mount a serious title charge this season. Well, all those questions have been answered, and they've been answered in some style, just like they were yesterday. You know, Arsenal, they were just on it from the start. I mean, it took 4 minutes to score, but they could have scored a couple of goals before Odegaard opened the scoring in the fourth minute. It was a lovely goal by Odegaard, lovely finish. He was exceptional once again. Him and Havertz, I thought, were brilliant. But Saka and Martinelli, before both of them went off, was superb. Declan Rice as well was superb. And it was kind of take your pick when it came to man of the match. Martin Odegaard got it on Sky Sports. I gave it to Kai Havertz, but it could have been a whole long list of players. Such was Arsenal's dominance last night. So Odegaard with the first. Then it was the own goal after Saka created it down the right-hand side. Saka caused them so many problems. And he was ill as well, which we'll talk about a little bit later on in the show. But he was ill. And yet, even though he was feeling under weather, he still did what he did in that first 45 minutes last night. So that was 2-0. Martinelli getting the third. Havertz, brilliant finish from Havertz to make it 4-0. I mentioned it in last night's video, but just the way he took that goal, the finish, the conviction he put with that finish, you know, really drilled it. Such a clean strike. We haven't always seen that from Havertz this season. That just shows the level of confidence that he's playing at the moment for Arsenal. I really loved that goal from Kai Havertz. So that was 4-0. Declan Rice made it 5 again. Brilliant by Saka down the right. Lovely finish from Declan Rice. And it was 5-0 at halftime. And he thought then, you know, seriously, can Arsenal get double figures? Can they go on and get 10? They eased off the gas in the second half. There's no doubt about it. They started to go through the motions a little bit. The substitutions all took place. That disrupted the game. Sheffield United did all they could to keep the goals to a minimum in the second half. Only one came from it. Lovely goal by Ben White. Actually, potentially the best goal of the night. Brilliant from Kai Havertz again to set it up. And that was that. Just another dominant Arsenal win, 6-0 Arsenal win. And you can't really ask much more, can you? You look at the stats of the game there, expected goals for Sheffield United, 0.3. I'm surprised it was even 0.3 for Sheffield United on their expected stats. These are the stats from canonstats.com, of course, Scott Willis. Please do go and visit his site. Excellent analysis of Arsenal after each match. Really, really well worth looking at. 23 shots to Arsenal, 4 to Sheffield United, 2.3. Arsenal's expected goals. Again, you kind of felt like that would be higher, but their finishing was good. A couple of them took deflections as well. Arsenal 80% possession, just total domination. This next slide just sums up how dominant Arsenal were. I mean, look at that field tilt. There is no red on there whatsoever. It's just pure yellow from start to finish. It was just, I mean, in a way, you look at it and think Sheffield United is really good for the Premier League to have a team of this standard playing in the Premier League. The teams that have come out, Luton have given it a real go, but Burnley and Sheffield United have been so, so disappointing this season in the Premier League. They're just not good enough, no doubt about it. You know, Arsenal aren't the first team to hammer Sheffield United. I don't think they'll be the last team to hammer Sheffield United this season. And they are very much going back down to the Championship with a whimper. But you can only beat what's in front of you. And Arsenal did that. And they did it very, very clinically last night once again. And as you can imagine, Mikel Arteta really, really delighted by what he saw from his players. A great night, he said afterwards. A really difficult place to come. The way we started made a difference. We were really aggressive and positive, and we showed real quality in the final third to take the game into a great position for us. Then we maintained the rhythm, maintained the hunger. And I loved that about the team. And I agree. I thought that first half, you know, when it was 3-0 after 15 minutes, it could have been like, that's it, game, set and match, let's just cruise through this. But they didn't. And there was a point, I think it was after Declan Rice scored his fifth goal, actually, he was going back to the halfway line, and you could see him, he was like, more. The players really did want it. They looked really hungry to continue going at Sheffield United. And we've seen that in recent weeks. There's a real hunger about Arsenal now to keep going, to score goals. The first time we've really seen that tail off, I thought, was probably the last half an hour or so yesterday when the substitutions came on. But I don't think you can really complain too much about that. Mikel was asked afterwards, you know, is the team really, really peaking now at the right time, unlike what happened last season, where the peak seemed to come in the first half of the season and then the second half of the season was kind of desperately clinging on, trying to maintain that early season form? And he said, yes, for sure. And obviously picking the right players that could bring something that we didn't have to the squad. They're certainly doing that. Also improving every player and the mechanisms and the culture around the team. They are doing that, but it's still the most important part of the season ahead. That's for sure. He was asked about goal difference and the difference that has made for Arsenal and how important it could be. So we don't know. The fact we're scoring many goals and not conceding is a great sign, but it's about winning every game now. And that's the demand these two teams have set over the past 2 years. And that's the task ahead of us. And of course, he means Liverpool and Manchester City by that. But when you look at what City are doing, and you look at what Liverpool are doing, but then you look at Arsenal's numbers this season and the goal difference, you know, they're 10 ahead of Man City in goal difference, which is remarkable. I think they're 6 ahead of Liverpool as well. They've scored more goals than anyone in so far in the Premier League. They've conceded less goals than anyone in the Premier League this season. You know, the numbers are remarkable, what Arsenal are producing right now. And it's just going to be really interesting, really exciting to see how they can continue that. Brentford's huge now. Every game is absolutely huge now. But if Arsenal can beat Brentford on Saturday, the 5:30 p.m. kickoff, they can get the job done at home, then they're going to be top of the Premier League for the first time since Christmas. And then they can sit back and just see what happens between Liverpool and Manchester City 24 hours earlier. You know, Arsenal had all the pressure on them last night against Sheffield United. They went into it last. Everyone had won, even Aston Villa, even Tottenham. Of course, Liverpool, Man City had done what they'd done. So it was all eyes on Arsenal. Could they follow that up? Yes, they were playing Sheffield United. Yes, they were expected to win, but they still had to go out there and do it. But to do it in the style that they did and with the swagger that they did, it just looked like a side who aren't feeling any sort of pressure at the moment and they're fully backing themselves. And in a way, you kind of look at how they're playing and you kind of want to play Manchester City now. You don't want to have to go off and have the international break and disrupt things a little bit and lose your momentum. I'd love to play Manchester City now. As good as Manchester City played against Manchester United, you know, if that game was this weekend, I think Arsenal would go to the Etihad and they'd be absolutely full of confidence and belief that they can get that result. I'm sure they will be after the international break, but in a way, it is a bit of a shame that that game is not coming one game earlier than it is.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
On the injuries, obviously it was a real worry seeing Gabriel Martinelli go off the way he did in that second half last night. It didn't look like he could put any weight on it. On his ankle, you thought, oh no, what's he done? Has he done his metatarsal? What's going on here? The update from Mikel Arteta in a press conference and speaking to the TV media after the game was a lot more positive. Saka obviously went off at half-time as well. Weren't sure at the time, you know, was that injury-related? Was it just resting Bukayo Saka? But it turns out that he wasn't feeling very well. He was sick. And it gave Mikel the opportunity, obviously, to put Fabio Vieira on, who hasn't played any minutes for 3 or 4 months now. And that was good. And I thought Fabio Vieira had a really bright cameo, actually, in that second half. I thought he was decent. He was unlucky not to at least sort of walk away with an assist in that second half. But this is what Mikel said. He said Bukayo was feeling sick. He wasn't feeling right. So he decided to take him off and bring Fabio in. Martinelli with Gabby, it's just a cut. He said he had a tackle and a slight cut. We'll have to see how it is. You saw how it happened. I think Martinelli was trying to have a shot right on the edge of the box, and it was one of those sort of classic moments. He shot, the defender put his foot out, they clashed feet, and you saw Martinelli wasn't happy. He was pointing down at his foot afterwards, and then see the way he went off, being helped off like that, looking like he couldn't put any weight on it. You worried if it was some sort of something really serious, you know, a break or something like that. Fingers crossed, from what Mikel said, it's nothing too serious. And if it is a cut, it can just heal up. You know, if he doesn't have to play against Brentford, so be it. Arsenal got lots of options now. Gabriel Jesus came back, of course, got half an hour. He could potentially play on the wing against Brentford at the weekend, but you'd probably think it'd just be Leandro Trossard moved out over there. So fingers crossed they're not too bad. And there was good news on Tomiyasu, actually, in the press conference afterwards. Mikel saying he's out doing some stuff on the pitch now, Tomiyasu, and he's not far away at all. So even if he doesn't make it for Brentford, you would think, judging by that update, that he'll certainly be okay for the Manchester City game after the international break. You would hope that he doesn't get called up by Japan. I haven't seen if they've got any fixtures, but you'd hope he wouldn't get called up by Japan. And looking at how Martinelli was yesterday, you do wonder if he'll now pull out of the Brazil squad. We'll have to wait and see on that. Of course, there's no Gabriel Jesus in that squad. He's been left out so far by Brazil. Maybe if Martinelli drops out, Jesus will get a call up. So we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, not too bad on the injuries. Certainly not as bad as it looked the way Martinelli went off yesterday. Right, player ratings wise, I'll run through these pretty quickly because obviously I did my main video on it last night. But if you haven't seen them, this is what I've given the Arsenal players. So I gave Raya a 7. As I said yesterday, he could have had his deck chair out sat back with a cocktail and just watched what was going on for the majority of that game. Such was Arsenal's dominance. He barely had anything to do, especially with his hands. But what he did do, he did well. You know, he was always sort of on the front foot, playing really high up the pitch like he always does, almost as a sweeper rather than a goalkeeper, moving the ball on. Distribution was good. I gave Herrera 7. Ben White, I thought, was excellent. First half, he linked up so well with Bukayo Saka, got on the overlap a fair bit more than we've seen at times, even though he was playing in that inverted role, still did drift into the central positions. And I thought he caused Sheffield United all sorts of problems in the first half, and then he popped up with a really good goal in the second half. So I gave Ben White an 8. The other three defenders, I gave a 7. So Saliba, Gabriel, Kvyat. I think Saliba, I've just got to find the stat because I did retweet it. Just let me have a look. Here it is. This was a stat I saw from Orbinio, which was, I've just lost it again. There you go. William Saliba has surpassed Santi Cazorla's record number of passes by an Arsenal player in a single Premier League game. He completed 169 passes against Sheffield United. Only three players in the Premier League since 2003 have completed more in the whole competition. They were all City players. So that's how much William Saliba saw of the ball yesterday. It was just constant, just ball was coming out to him, passing, moving it on. I gave those three a 7. Kvyat got an assist for, I think it was Martinelli's goal, so fair play to him for that. Jorginho, I said it yesterday, while the madness was going on, you almost forgot that Jorginho was on the pitch because he just did what he had to do. He kept the ball moving, just laid it off to the attackers to do what they had to do and score more goals and cause Sheffield United more problems. So, yeah, Jorginho, I gave a 7. In midfield, I gave Declan Rice an 8. Lovely finish from Declan Rice to make it 5-0. Got an assist. Actually, he didn't get an assist. It was taken off him because his cross for Odegaard took a deflection, and it was considered too big a deflection for that to go down as a Rice assist. So that was taken off him, but I still played very, very well. Declan Rice, I gave him an 8. Odegaard was brilliant. He was just absolutely brilliant. Obviously, he set the ball rolling with the early goal, but just his movement, his technique, his quick feet. Sheffield United had no clue what to do with Martin Odegaard. I gave him a 9. The two wingers, I gave an 8. I thought they were both great. Saka was only on the pitch for 45 minutes, Martinelli for an hour or whatever it was before he got the injury. But both of them just caused their defenders all sorts of problems. They couldn't cope. They absolutely couldn't cope. I mean, Bukayo Saka terrorised them down that right-hand side in the first 45 minutes. I gave them both an 8. Kai Havertz, like I said, I gave man of the match. I gave him a 9. It could have easily been Odegaard. It was almost toss of a coin. But I just thought Havertz was great. I loved his goal. I loved his assist for Ben White. Also got another assist in the first half. His movement was really good. He's a player full of confidence at the moment, Kai Havertz. Really enjoying watching him play. He gets a 9 from me and was my man of the match. So those are my player ratings. Also, obviously, 5 substitutes came on. Jesus, Partey, great to see Partey back. Some nice passes from Partey. Looked a bit rusty at times. You can understand that, but some nice passes. Jesus almost scored a 1. Did look a bit rusty as well. Should have had pulled the trigger a couple of times, but instead decided not to and probably should have shot. Vieira, as I said, I thought was really bright. Out of all the substitutes, I thought Vieira was the brightest. It was a good cameo for him. And then Cedric Suarez came on as well as Leandro Trossard. Right, moving on to some of your comments now before I wrap this one up. Nostradamus 86 says, Charles, firstly, the first half almost felt like a dream, woken up by a reality hit with White's left foot cracker. Very hard to decide on the man in a match given the total control our defensive duo played, contributing to nearly 300 passes between them and precise winning the ball back. Jorginho and Rice both played extremely well together, keeping Sheffield to just chasing shadows, which leads to whom was man of the match. Martin Odegaard's technical ability, aided with his stamina and general approach, it's a beautiful thing to witness when other players are on the Odegaard understanding. On to Brentford. Yeah, look, as I said, really hard to choose man of the match. So many people could have got it. It was just a really good performance from a lot of players. Gordon says, hi, Charles. That was a great night's work, like the Harlem Globetrotters exhibition match. It ended up being a canter. Odegaard pinging some blind passes all over the park and pressing like a demon. Everyone did their part. The subs disrupted the flow. Partey looked rusty, but the game was gone by then. Carragher said the first half was the most embarrassing half he's seen in the Premier League. I rather enjoyed it. We all rather enjoyed it, Gordon, no doubt about that. And then Jacobs, I think, says, hi, Charles, amazing content as usual. Thank you very much. Love your channel since the goal days. I've given Havertz a lot of flack, but at this moment, he's one of the first names on the team sheet. I agree with that. His ability to win duels is outstanding. And now he's starting to add goals and assists. It can only get better. Really good signing. Yeah, he's certainly proving a lot of doubters wrong at the moment. Kai Havertz is up to 10 goals and assists for the season now. I think it's 7 goals, 3 assists. Most goals he's ever scored for Chelsea in a Premier League season, I think, was 8. So he just needs a couple more to match that, to beat that already for Arsenal, which you would think he's certainly going to get, given the way he's playing at the moment. A few others here. I think as Atchouf says, hi, Charles. With how great Havertz has been fitting into the number 9 role and how not a good fit he seems to be in the number 8 role, is it better, do you think, we focus on bringing a top midfielder who can operate there and let Havertz and Jesus fight it out for the number 9 role? Well, to be fair, we've already the way Declan Rice is playing at the moment in that number 8 role is fantastic, and he's sort of producing the sort of numbers that that Granit Xhaka did last season. Another goal yesterday, like I said, very close to getting another assist. So maybe that is the answer after all. Just play Havertz there, and then you bring in a Zubimendi, who Arsenal are obviously looking potentially to sign in the summer, or you continue to play Jorginho, you know, or Thomas Partey stays fit and can play there next season. The way Declan Rice is playing, he could easily play that role, and that could leave Havertz to be the number 9. I agree. I think Havertz is best playing in that position. I've not seen anything. I always thought that, and I've not seen anything to change my mind right now. He just looks better when it and more comfortable, and Arsenal look better when he's playing in that role than he does in the 8. The company 4049 says, Havertz, what a player he's been for us. We don't miss Jesus just because of him, and he gives us something difficult up front, which I really liked about him. His link-up play is top-notch alongside those runs in behind. I love Jorginho's vision to Havertz. Often give him it gives the opposition pressure. John there says, hi, Charles. Do you think Jesus will need to raise his level to get back into his starting team? As good as he was before, I feel Arsenal have almost evolved without him and score goals more freely. Do you think he can develop and add finishing to his skill set? I think it's the only thing missing from making him a definite starter. Can he add finishing? I don't know. Look, Jesus is 26, 27. I'm not sure he's going to really become a better finisher in the next couple of years than he already is. I still think he's a great player. I still think the injuries and his absence, it's easy to forget how good he is and how good he's been for Arsenal since he's come. But look, he's got a real challenge on his side to get on his hands to get back in the side at the moment. He's clearly playing with an injury as well. I didn't see it yesterday, but people were saying he was limping even during the game when he came on as in the second half yesterday and wasn't looking entirely comfortable. You know, they're managing this knee injury. That's not going to change between now and the end of the season. So maybe he is going to have to accept a kind of bit part role between now and the end of the season. We'll have to wait and see what Arsenal do and how they manage that knee. But the way Havertz is playing at the moment, it's very hard to leave him out the side. You know, I've always kind of looked at that Porto game and keep thinking I want Jesus fit for that match and start in that game. But I'm not so sure now. The way Havertz is playing, you know, just stick with it. Play Havertz there. I wouldn't be worried about that because of what he's producing week in, week out at the moment. So it's a good position for Mikel Arteta to be in. It's the options you want Mikel Arteta to have. We've waited all season for him to have these sort of options. And yeah, long may that continue. All right, that's it from me, everyone. Thank you very much for watching. If I've missed anything that's happened overnight, like I said, I recorded this, pre-recorded it last night, very soon after the full-time whistle, because I'm out and about in the morning tomorrow. I wasn't going to be able to sit down and do the video. So if I've missed anything and I haven't talked about it, that's why, but I will talk about it in the next show that I do. But until then, everyone, have a very good Tuesday. I'm sure you will. And yeah, I'll be back tomorrow to do it all over again. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ,
the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.